Tango Tango Papa 1092, June 16, 2009.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
another mashup from mashuptown.com. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you this evening, coming to you from Moni, Illinois. Of course, I spent the night last night at the place where I was unloaded today at, Wilmington, Illinois, which isn't very far from where I'm at right now. They came out, you know, I laid down and, you know, the guard came out. I don't know, there was a bunch of trucks after, you know, that got there, overnight. And so the guard came out and, was waking people up at, I think, 6:30 a.m. And he told me to go ahead and pull in. And, as I suspected, I didn't have an appointment, an unloading appointment. So they had me park in there and, contacted my company, and they said, well, we'll try to get you a work-in appointment. Can't make any guarantees. So in the meantime, I laid down and slept, and the guard was going to come. He came, and, well, now, how did that work? Okay, first of all, they sent a thing saying that I had a, I don't know, it was like a 3 o'clock unloading appointment, 3 p.m., but it was a work-in, and so I made sure the guard had that number, and you know, because there had to be a delivery confirmation number, and so after they made the appointment, they got that, and so then he said, walk back over to your truck, and I'll come and knock on the truck because I don't have a CB radio. I don't know, it was sometime, 1:30, 2 o'clock, maybe 1:30. They came, might have been a little earlier than that. They came and knocked on my truck and he told me to back into a door, which I did. And then it didn't take them, I don't know, about an hour to unload it. And so in the meantime, before the load was unloaded, they sent this other load offer that picked up in University Park, Illinois, which is not too far from here. It's kind of the southern, it's a southern suburb of the Chicago area. It loads at 11 a.m. Tuesday morning, and then it delivers by midnight at Westfield, Massachusetts. Wednesday at midnight. And so, that's 900 miles. So that's going to be kind of a tight trip once the load is loaded. So I'll get up in the morning and I'll drive over to, it's cold storage where I'm going to be picking the load up. I'll go ahead and drive over there in the morning and, check in with them, and just in case they unload or they load the load earlier, or it might be a drop and hook. My load information really doesn't give me, it doesn't really say. You know, it could be a live load, or it could end up being a drop and hook. So once I pick the load up, then I've got enough time, I think, to make it to Westfield, Massachusetts by midnight. But it's as I say, it's going to be kind of a tight trip. So. But it should be able to make it. So anyway, that's what I'm going to be doing for the next couple of days. Anyway, Tuesday and Wednesday is hightailing it to Massachusetts. So after I got unloaded today, I came on over here to Moni, Illinois. There's a Petro truck stop and a Pilot truck stop here. And a couple of truck, or there's a truck wash and a truck washout at the Petro truck stop. So I got the trailer washed out, and so got that taken care of. And then I parked, and so I spent quite a few hours kind of tweaking, making the final tweaks to. What is now findingamericahd.com, and that URL now, instead of pointing at Mevio, It points now to finding them. You know, it's pointing to the WordPress site that I set up. So it's just type in www.findingamericahd.com. Just run that all together, and that'll take you to the new site. And I spent quite a few hours this evening, several hours this afternoon and into early evening, kind of recreating every entry in that new site, basically creating all of the podcast entries, sort of predating them, so that the oldest one, you know, they should all be in order unless I made some mistakes. I think I kind of tried to go through and make sure that I got, you know, I corrected all the mistakes, you know, because I was having some problems with the internet connection as I was doing it. You know, I'd be going along and creating entries and everything would be going fine, and then all of a sudden I'd get an error message saying, you know, when I tried to post, it would say server, you know, something like server error or whatever, and then I would have to go back and correct, and, you know, so that was kind of slowed the process down somewhat. But I did make it through all of those, all 2 years of HD videos that I've posted during the last 2 years. Started a little over 2 years ago. I think it was in May of 07 was when I posted the first HD video. So it's been, I've been doing the video for 2 years. So, but the way that works, you know, on that site, it pops up there's this player that pops up in each entry, and you can actually play the thing right there, or you can, it is a podcast, and so you can, you can put it in your iTunes or whatever, and it is a podcast. So that is going to be the main site that I'm going to be kind of concentrating on with my HD video. And of course, in the future, I'll be making making additional tweaks to the site, kind of adding this and adding that, and maybe, you know, maybe some things that I take away. I don't know, some of the widgets, I'm still playing with those, but pretty happy with the way it turned out. And so still haven't decided yet if I'm gonna make a standard definition version of the site. It just depends on how much time I have and how much time I want to devote to it, because obviously I would have to recreate the site pretty much, you know, go through the whole process. Go through the entire process of recreating a standard definition version of the site, including all of those entries for the standard definition versions of the videos. And so, I don't know. We'll see. But, and I don't know if that would be worth it or not. But, I don't know. And so anyway, the next thing, and then I spent some time on the new, the WordPress install for the new Ho Agenda site. So that's at hoagenda.com, www.hoagenda.com. So I've still got a lot of work to do with it. Did part of the work this evening, and then was kind of all tight, just kind of really, I'd spend hours and hours on WordPress, and so I kind of got tired of that, and so I just thought, well, just set that aside for now, and, when I get some more time, I will work on it some more, and at least with the Ho Agenda site, there's not going to be nearly as many entries to recreate, because, I think we're up to podcast number 22, I think, was the 22 or 23 was the last one that we did a few days ago. And so that, you know, I'll be able to recreate all of those entries fairly quickly. And of course, I've still got, you know, widgets to put into the sidebars and so on and so forth. And so probably if I, you know, 2 or 3 hours, and I can have that site all kind of ready to go. You know, it just takes work. It takes a lot of work to kind of tweak all that stuff and a lot of attention to details. And once that's set up, then it works pretty well. I think what I'm gonna, you know, I've got a little backup program in there that backs it. You know, it backs up, I guess, some of the core elements, but. I think probably what I also should do would be to periodically go in, you know, like FTP to the site and to the server and just back, you know, just basically back up everything on my local machine just in case, because there's a lot of stuff that the backup, this little backup program that I have that automatically emails me a backup once a week. Obviously, it's not backing up everything, and so it would be probably quite a process of redoing everything. So I, you know, with as much time that I've invested in this, I probably should just use an FTP system, you know, just use FTP and just, you know, periodically download the entire thing. You know, all of the subdirectories and what have you that make up the WordPress installation on the server. So, you know, and in that way, if something should happen, it would be a relatively easy process to just restore that and then probably would be able to, you know, get within, at least within a few days of let's say something horrible happened to the server, then I'd be able to, you know, once the thing was back up and running, then I'd be able to just restore it from my copy. And then of course I've got the emails, the site, you know, WordPress is, all these WordPress sites are emailing me once a week. I've got them set up to email me once a week the core files, which would include all of the entries, which that's, apart from all of the widgets and stuff, that, you know, the widgets, you get a lot of work involved in that and laying the site out and what have you, a lot of different details, depending on the theme that you're using, the WordPress theme. But then the entries themselves, if, you know, if you get into hundreds of entries, and it, that's a lot of work, you know, and there's no way you're going to be able to, depending, you know, to try to recreate that, you'd just be up a creek. So, backup, backup, backup. In the podcast last night, of course, I played the audio clip from Scott Mitchell, you know, where he's kind of playing devil's advocate. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I listened back to that podcast today, and one of the things that kind of popped into my head is that, you know, among other things, you know, if you're a parent, which I'm not, you know, and I'm not a parent, never have been a parent, likely never will be a parent, never will have any kids, but if I did, knowing what I know, function, one of the primary functions of a parent is to teach their kid not, you know, how not to play God, because that, you know, we come into this world with a nature. No matter who we are, we come into this world with a nature that wants to play God. You know, we're born in sin. There is that concept. But that what that actually means is that we want to play God. We have a nature that sort of a warring ego nature. You know, that that side of us is going to try to bud, and you know it's going to try to grow, and to a certain extent it has to. But so it's a parent's excuse me, it's a parent's one of their, you know, their function, one of their jobs, if they're going to do their job right, one of their jobs is to talk to their kids about that, you know, make the kids aware of the kind of the pitfalls of, you know, what it is to be a human being, you know, and you can't stop them, you know, because it's a mistake to try to stop them from developing their egos, because, you know, that's going to develop. But where a lot of parents just fall completely flat. And, you know, of course, we were talking about this situation that my friend Gene was telling me about, where this 17-year-old girl that's about to turn 18 years old wants to get this big tattoo on her back, and the dad just dead set against it, and he's threatening to not pay for her college if she does it. And, you know, the problem, you know, certainly the father can do that. But the problem is that this isn't, you know, this just didn't happen out of the blue. There's, you know, for her to want to do that, particularly against her father's wishes, there has to be, you know, this has been going on for a long time, and this is just the latest escalation of it, of the war between two egos. You have the dad's ego, and then you have the daughter's ego. And the problem is that when we play God, you know, we play God in our own minds. There's something there. We have, you know, we don't live in, we don't exist in a vacuum. And so that evil, and I do believe that evil exists, evil, you know, there's only really two forces in the world. You know, you have, on the one hand, you have God, but then you have this concept of evil. And you know, so evil sort of takes possession of us, and evil's function, and it serves an important function. Evil's function is to, you know, one way of saying it, without evil, how could there be anything good? You know, how would there be any, you know, how would there be a claim to virtue without evil? And so evil is kind of a necessary thing for us to have to struggle with. But the problem is that the dad was already, you know, the dad's infected. We're all infected. But the dad was already infected when the daughter came along. And particularly if the dad wasn't aware, you know, even though he probably thought he was aware, but he wasn't, you know, he didn't have the awareness to realize what was acting through him, then that, of course, that infects the daughter. The daughter's going to be infected too. And then you end up with two warring egos. And so the daughter, you know, the dad could have the, you know, really good intentions, and so could the daughter. But the dad could end up completely turning his daughter away from the very thing that could save her. And it, you know, it's You know, it's a story that's repeated itself over and over and over and over again. But I don't know. Another thing, you know, I've got what I'm going to do. I've got some emails. I've got a ton of emails that I've been collecting. But there was an email that, oh gosh, let me see if I can find it here. Where is it at? I've got a bunch of email today, and I'm kind of scrolling back through. Where did that go? Ah, here it is. There was this brief email from Ian this morning, a little short email, in regards to the podcast last night. And Ian says, I know a friend that disowned his daughter when he found out she was a lesbian. After about 5 years, he realized he had made a mistake, and he tried to patch things up. I'm not sure if it ever came back to where it was before, and it was from Ian. And, you know, that is a pretty, you know, you think about that. That's a pretty radical thing to do, you know, to disown your child. Now, in this case, I don't know, you know, Ian didn't really say. He said that the dad found out that his daughter was a lesbian. Now, I don't know if the daughter was hiding that from him, and he kind of, you know, found out, because you're not going to hide something like that, obviously, or if the daughter simply came to him and told him. And he, you know, he said, well, if you're going to do that, then sorry, you know, I'm disowning you and not having anything more to do with you. And then 5 years goes by. 5 years is a long time. You know, it seems like 5 years can go by pretty quickly, but 5 years is actually quite a long time. You know, when it comes to family and, you know, again, I'm not a parent, but that would be an awfully, if I was a parent, that, you know, that would be an eternity. You know, and it's ironic. It's really ironic, because the very people that, well, in the case of this dad with, you know, that's going to cut his daughter off because she's going to get the tattoo on her back. The problem with that is that, I forgot what I was going to say. It'll come back to me if it was important. But, you know, it's, well, now I remember what I was going to say. We're all sinners. You know, if you want to use the regular religious vernacular, we all are sinners. We all fall short of what we were created to be. And, well, in the case of this dad wanting to cut his daughter off from the college funds if she gets the tattoo on her back, you know, these people are religious, you know, and they've been going to, you know, they go to church on Sundays and maybe on Wednesdays and so on and so forth. You know, and of course, in the church, they're preaching at them about forgiveness and so on and so forth. And it's a typical, if it's a typical Christian church, that's one of the topics that always pops up is forgiving and how God forgives us and so on and so forth and how we should forgive each other, blah 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 blah. But the problem here, you see the problem, because where the rubber meets the road, where the rubber really meets the road, forgiveness is lacking. And you have the typical thing where people kind of wrap themselves, and this could apply to the daughter as well. People sort of wrap themselves in verses and chapters, and they go to the church and give money to the preacher. The preacher smiles at them and does his little song and dance and so on and so forth. And it's not really helping them. It's not really teaching them anything. At best, it's kind of a religious prison. It's a religious prison where the inmates, you know, the warring ego inmates are fighting with each other, trying to manipulate each other. And, you know, so, but this is, this email from Ian, that's a pretty extreme thing, you know, disowning your daughter just because, you know, she either told him that she was a lesbian or he somehow found out about it. And I don't want anything more to do with you. Goodbye. Get out of my life. Don't want to hear from you anymore. You don't exist anymore. That's a pretty radical thing. And of course, you know, a lot of times when people do stuff like that, when they get older, whether they want to or not, when people start to get older, they begin to reflect on their lives. You know, conscience still catches up. You know, very few people are actually able to completely kill their conscience. Very few people are actually able to completely separate themselves from their conscience. And that conscience, sooner or later, is going to catch up. Sooner or later, the distractions stop working. Sooner or later, there's no more running away. And it's going to start to catch up. And so people have a change of heart. Well, you know, so in the meantime, this guy's disowned his daughter, you know, and you know, and she's perfectly within her rights to tell him, you know, sorry, Charlie, you disowned me, you know, so, you know, I took it seriously. You know, so it's a sad thing, you know, and overall, the thing that's really sad about it is not really so much the warring ego aspect, is that what we could have. If we were aware, the kind of life we could have, the kind of relationships that we could have with other people, if we have this extra special, this extra awareness. The sad thing is, we could have a literal paradise if people were just aware. If they would look at themselves and we were all in the world, but not of it. It can be a completely different life. And that's really the kind of the sad aspect of it. But, you know, so we kind of end up, instead of doing that, most of us, it seems, end up, because, you know, we end up, going completely in the opposite direction, and, you know, sort of trying to build a wall, drive a wedge between ourselves and the thing that could really give us a wonderful life. But of course, to the warring, you know, to our egos, to the wrong side of our egos, the identity that God has for us is perceived as something horrible. It makes you, you know, it's perceived as something painful. It's perceived as conscience. It's perceived as guilty conscience. And our, you know, the wrong side of our egos, the bloated wrong side of our egos, try to run away from that. Avoid that at all costs. So anyway, thank you, Ian, for sending that little note along. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and just start going through some of this stuff that I've collected, the email and a few news stories. Oops, we had a little software glitch there, but Ubercaster does that sometimes, and I'm not sure. Usually it only happens if I have too many leftover tracks, and so I, you know, it's kind of funny because I had gone ahead and deleted the leftover tracks. I've been doing that on a kind of a regular basis so that that doesn't happen, but it did it anyway. So I went ahead and closed, I had Twirl open, so I went ahead and closed it, and I went ahead and closed my email program, and you know, because in a couple of web browser tabs, I closed those as well. You know, because it could be that Firefox was kind of eating extra memory, or the Twirl program could have been eating too much memory. And, you know, so in the past, I've noticed that when this happens, if I'll kind of close out some of the other programs to give Ubercaster more memory, it doesn't, you know, it's not as prone to do that, you know, because it'll pop up and say, audio engine overload, whatever that means. And I think it just means that there's, you know, there's, it ran out of memory, or it ran out of virtual memory, perhaps. So, but anyway, the whole program didn't crash. And even if the whole program crashes, it whenever I open it back up, all of the stuff is still there. So at least it, sort of crashes gracefully, but it works pretty well. Overall, I'm pretty happy with it for a, podcasting application. Anyway, let's move on to some of this email that I've been collecting over, I don't know, probably the past month. So jump right on into it. I got an email here from Judy, and this is Irk's mom, actually. She says, "Hey, Tom, just a short note to say hello and have been thinking of you lately. I just started re-watching on Foxtel TV Ice Road Truckers, and it reminded me of you, keep healthy and good trucking, love, Judy." And of course, that's Irk's mom. And now Irk is a podcaster, and he recently had a 3-month trip, you know, here to the U.S., you know, kind of driving all around. And I was hoping that I was going to be able to run into him somewhere, but and spend some time with him. But, it you know, where he was and where I was just didn't work out. And so he I guess, at the earlier in this month, which would have been probably a little over a week ago, he went back to Australia. And so he's back now, but so anyway, his website is www.channelirk.com, and he's got a bunch of cool podcasts where he met up with a ton of people across the country, and he interviewed people, and so they're very interesting podcasts. So anyway, you can find that at channelirk.com. Just spell out channelirk.com. And one of the podcasts that he does is a podcast with his mom, Judy. So thank you, Judy. Then there's another, there's a little email here from Ian. He said, enjoy your New Jersey video today. Looks like the ideal trucking on those highways. And that was from about a month ago, and that was from Ian. So thank you, Ian. And then there's an email from Wayne in California. He says, hello, Tom. Was checking out on Facebook. So it sounds like they're letting you sit more than normal. Wow. This was about a month ago again when I was up in New Jersey. Freight must be slow this year. It's funny, some guys are running hard, others are sitting. What's up with that? You seem to be calm about it, taking it well. Some kind of mind adjustment, I guess. You're the man. Yeah, glad to see you're making new movies. Always fun to watch your new stuff, and that was some ice storm you had to deal with. Guess it must have left the area by now. How's your water pipes holding up? Okay, talk to you later. And that's Wayne. So thank you, Wayne. And let's see. So things have kind of picked up. They seem to have picked up in the trucking business somewhat anyway. So we just have to wait and see what happens. But overall, things are slow, and they can get slow. Even in normal times, trucking can get slow. And there's no point, I don't care what your job is, there's no point in getting mad at the world or mad at the job or mad at your boss or mad at the company or whatever it is, mad at the economy. It's not going to do you any good. You know, you resent that stuff, you resent the world, and it's not going to do you a darn bit of good. And in fact, it makes you more subject to it. It's just the opposite of what you think. You know, people have this, their egos, the wrong side of our egos is permeated with this idea that if we just get upset, if we'll just get upset with what, you know, with what is kind of thwarting us, what we feel is kind of thwarting us, or it's holding us back, if we'll just get upset with it, that's going to make it feel bad, or it's going to make it all better. And it's exactly the opposite. It's exactly the opposite. You know, so if you want to feel better about your life, if you want to, you know, then you have to learn not to resent. Because it's a complete lie. The lie lies. It's as simple as that. And so, anyway, thank you, Wayne. Then there's this email from Rob. He says, Tom, I thought I'd try out Twitter again. I sort of got bored with it last year after I tried it for the first time. Now it's finding a desktop gadget or app that will work how I want. I'm trying out Twirl now. I do have an unfortunate but interesting update from work. Earlier this week, about 30 to 40 people where I work got fired, everyone from supervisors to regular employees. Why did they get fired? All of them either had felony convictions or misdemeanor convictions that they'd already served their time for, or were in community corrections work release. I knew quite a few of them, and most of their issues revolved around drug addiction. Many of these people had been working for the company for many years. One, in fact, had about 10 years with the company. Somehow, someway, someone up the chain of command got a hair up their butt and decided that nobody with a criminal history can work there. Some might say this is good, but keep in mind the majority of them had served their time and paid their debt to society, except for those in work release. Those fired included two managers and several assistant managers, not to mention numerous employees. None of these people were bad employees. Most, if not all, were overachievers and outstanding employees. exactly the type I would hire if I ran a business. Heck, if someone can beat drug addiction and turn their life around, I'd hire them any day. I'm not comfortable working there anymore, but do still need to pay the bills. By the way, the company I work for provides customer care tech support for a major national wireless carrier. Think iPhone. My cell phone is with that carrier, and I'll soon be finding another provider. And of course, that's from Rob. So, it sounds to me that, you know, in this economic downturn, you know, companies try to figure out ways of, it's no secret that companies try to figure out ways of getting rid of people so that they don't have to pay unemployment. And so if they fire a bunch of people, you know, and then I don't know if how this actually works. It kind of depends on the law, the state law or the federal law. Probably the federal law would supersede it, but, you know, if there was a state statute on it. But they're trying to come along and say, oh, these people have felonies, this, we're changing our policy, or, you know, any kind of felony or misdemeanor or whatever, or any kind of, they've done anything that we don't like in their past, we're just going to get rid of, just wholesale get rid of these people. And certainly, you know, it's within the company's right to do that, but they're probably doing it, you know, somebody may have this idea that they can do that, and then whenever the people come back and try to file unemployment, then the company can come back and say, well, they're not eligible for it right away because they had some sort of a problem that was violating company policy or something or other. Who knows? But it's a pretty crappy thing for a company to do. And I think we all, you know, if you know, you think iPhone, wireless provider, don't even have to say the name of it. Most people have a negative image of that company as it, the way it is. And that is precisely why I won't have an iPhone, because I don't like that carrier. Don't even have to say the name of it. And they've got a very negative image with people, just on the basis of their crappy service. So, you know, it's interesting. It's really interesting why, you know, because all of these people keep signing up for the iPhone, and you know, they just came out with the iPhone 3GS. And so all, you know, and then they dropped the price on the iPhone 3G. And so all of these people are just running out, signing up for this thing. You know, and it's as if they don't even care. You know, they know that the carrier's bad, but they don't care. They want that phone. Which, you know, doesn't make much sense. But it's interesting that the thing with Apple makes some good products. You know, I'm using an Apple machine right now. Apple does make some good products, there's no question about it, but it also, it's interesting because Apple also appeals to, you know, it's almost a masochistic relationship that Apple has with some of its customers. You know, it's almost like a codependency relationship that Apple's been able to create. And, you know, people will buy Apple products and they may whine and moan and groan, but they'll put up with it. They'll put up with whatever the shortcomings are because they're in love. You know, maybe they're in love with this image that Apple creates, or maybe they're in love with the image that the hardware creates. But Apple, beyond selling hardware and software, they sell an image. And it's that image that people, that some of the people are in love with. And it's the darndest thing. So people will abuse themselves in order to cling to an image, or cling almost like clinging to a false god. So anyway, thank you, Rob. Let's see what else there is. There's email here from Christian. I haven't been able to listen to this episode yet, and he's talking about I don't remember which episode it is. I landed here after reading your tweet about working on the website. It looks amazing. I am shocked to read about Adam Curry's eventual divorce. I was a frequent daily source code listener for years, until he completely got lost in his weird conspiracy world. It's a pity. What a route, Adam Curry has decided to travel on. He dumped podcasting, he dumped his wife, he dumped his family, and I'm not sure if the premium content route of Mevio, getting rid of user-generated content, was right either. I did some searching in Google and learned that his new love is Mickey something or other. I can't pronounce that. It begins with an H. A young article, or actress rather. She looks almost like the young Patricia Pye. According to RTL.nl, click on my... Oh, Adam Curry did tell his wife he wants a divorce, that he will be on holiday with his new girlfriend. Well, I think it is his personal decision, and everybody should respect it as such, but it is truly a pity. What is going on with Adam Curry, from a pioneer in new media and podcasting to, well, I don't know. Tom, keep up the great work. I'm a longtime listener since 2005 from Germany, and that's from Christian. So thank you, Christian. And then there's a message here from Facebook from Steve. He says, "Hey, man, just wanted to let you know how much your podcasts are appreciated. As a sales guy who is often on the road quite a bit, I can relate. Thanks again, and I look forward to listening in the future." Steve in Arizona. So thank you, Steve. And then there's the thing here from Paul. He says, "Hey, Tom, read your Twitter the other day from Auburn and then to Albany, Georgia. Might have bought your lunch in Columbus, Georgia." And that was from Paul. So thank you, Paul. Have to try to remember that you're in Columbus, Georgia. It's hard for me to remember where everybody's at. But that would be cool if I could, if I could stop and have a meal with you. That'd be awesome at some point. Then there's another email here from Ian. He says, "I can give you all the water you want. I get a few gallons a day from my dehumidifier in the basement all summer long. I will even give it to you for free if you pick it up." That's from Ian, so thank you, Ian. Then there's one from Brian. He says, "I was checking out your code for budget car rental, and they actually wanted to charge almost $10 more with the code than without. Any idea what that's about?" And that's from Brian. And the problem, I don't know, I checked that out myself, and it seems to me that they're trying to pull a fast one on people. And if you've kind of noticed, I've dropped mentioning them. But they're trying to pull a fast one on people, because you can just go to budget.com, for example, and some, not to single out Budget, but some of the other car rental places, that are on the internet there, and of course they all are. You can go to their sites, and you can, if you find so-called discount codes, but before you put those in, you can do a, like a point A to point B, and see how much the rental is going to cost you. And then you do the same thing, close that window and then do the same thing, but this time do, put the discount thing in first and then do the same search, and in a lot of cases it is going to cost more. So the discounts that they're trying to push, you know, and I think some of the other ones are guilty of it too, are not really discounts because they're jacking the price up. Probably to pay for their advertising. You know, so I don't know. I you know, that's bad. And so I've, if you've noticed, I've stopped mentioning that stuff, and at least for the time being. And so, you know, it's kind of ridiculous, I think. So anyway, so let's move on here. So thank you, Brian. And there's an email here. This, I think this was from Facebook, maybe, or it might have been an email. It's from Drory, D-R-O-R-Y. It says, "Hey, Mr. Hackettstown, New Jersey, love your podcast. Meditation and your outlook on the whole situation with what's going on in the political arena. Would like to meet you in person. I am out of New York City. I am a retired from trucking, drove for night transportation out of Lakeland, Florida. I am 55. I will tell you the rest of the story later. Keep up the great work. You are a great inspiration to many. I am one of them. My name is Drory. My handle is Hollywood on YouTube as Hollywood2NY. Safe journeys, brother, and God bless you." And then there's another thing here from him. He says, "I used to work in that port. Hey, I would drive my four-wheeler out to you and be my treat. It's the least I can do to thank you how you bring us all together. Wish we had the technology in the 60s and 70s. Sorry to hear on Mevio switching gears on you. Don't sweat it. Trucker Steve and Trucker 2 times I have listened. Oh, through Trucker Steve and Trucker 2 times I have listened to Roy Masters help a lot, and Scott and Michael. So I am getting there thanks to you and all the podcast army, LOL." And that's from Drory. So thank you again, Drory. And there's another email from Ian. He says, "Are you subjected to random drug screens?" And of course the answer to that is yes. "If so, is that ran by the DOT? And are there penalties if you're caught?" And that's from Ian. And of course there are. And, you know, of course the drug screening in truck driving has been going on for years and years at this point. And it's really been a positive thing because it really has, you know, weeded out the people that are on drugs. For the overwhelming vast majority of people that are trying to take drugs have been completely weeded out. And it's, of course, the random screening still goes on to this day. And it's a very positive thing. So, you know, companies have kind of adapted to it. And I think it's actually a good thing that they, you know, because if somebody wants to take drugs, have at it. But not, you know, when you're out here in the public highway, you know, and then people are out, you know, they're trying to drink and drive, for example, or take drugs, they're putting other people at risk. And so I have no tolerance for that. And so I fully support, you know, anti-drug laws and all kinds of measures that companies take and the government has taken to kind of force the issue because it really has eliminated a huge problem, you know, because there were, I think before that, there were quite a few drivers at one point, you know, you go back years ago, there were quite a few drivers that were taking, you know, that were just on drugs. You know, drugs to stay awake and God knows what else. And there's just too much traffic today, you know, that there's no need for that. You know, that, so, you know, if somebody wants to take drugs, they, you know, they can't be a truck driver. And it's just, and that's the way it should be as far as I'm concerned. So, anyway, let's see. I guess we'll go through, got a couple more short ones here. There's an email from Mike in North Carolina. He says, thanks, Tom, for all the podcasts. I really enjoy listening to you. I always download your podcast through iTunes and listen on the computer through your website now. It's especially nice that you put a new podcast on every day. I know it has to be somewhat challenging to do that, many, but I do appreciate it. Thank you, and have a great weekend. And that's from Mike in North Carolina. So thank you, Mike. And then there's one here from Paul. It says, Tom, instead of downloading from iTunes, should I be able to stream your podcast to my BlackBerry smartphone? Thanks. And that's from Paul. And so he's got a Verizon Wireless BlackBerry, and I did a little bit of research, and I don't think you can. There's just no software that's available for that I could find. I think there's nothing in the BlackBerry technology that prevents it from happening, unless it's Verizon itself in conjunction with BlackBerry that are kind of stopping certain types of applications from getting onto the BlackBerry. Now, that could well be happening, but I really couldn't find anything that would that would let you stream that way. So anyway, thank you, Paul. And so I think I'm going to cut that off there. I've still got more, but we got through a bunch of them. So what time is it? 2:19. So I should be able to get to bed here in a bit. And, my appointment is at 11 a.m., so I'll probably get up around, 8:30, 9 o'clock, maybe 9 o'clock, set my alarm clock, get up, and then get over to the warehouse where I'm going to be picking the load up at University Park, Illinois, which isn't, I don't think it's very far from here, where I'm at. And of course, after I pick the load up, then get headed towards Massachusetts. Anyhow, hope everyone's having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.